If you have your Bible with you, we're turning to the Old Testament scriptures, to the book of Daniel. Just been singing about Daniel in our hymn. We're turning to the book of Daniel and chapter 3. I'm going to read some verses from the opening part of the chapter and then some verses toward the end of the same chapter. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, commencing to read at verse 1. The word of God says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then if we could turn over to verse 12. Word of God says, There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that are in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, The flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. We lend our reading at verse 25. May God stamp with His own divine approval the public reading from His own inspired and infallible and inerrant word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again today for all Thy goodness to us, for Thy presence already with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the news of young people coming to know the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. How we thank Thee for them. We thank Thee, Lord, for the change in their lives, that if any man or woman or young person be in Christ, they are new creatures. The old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Dear Father, how we thank Thee again today for each one bowed now in Thy presence, redeemed by precious blood, on their way to heaven and to home. Lord, bless us this morning. Bless Thy word now to our hearts, we pray Thee. If we need a word of encouragement, Lord, may we find that word in Thy word this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, that even the sweet psalmist of Israel could say, "When I am cast down, Thou, O God, art the lifter up of my head." Lord, for the saints of God who would be suffering from discouragement and maybe defeat, Lord, cause them to look again to Christ this morning, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Lord, may they receive fresh courage and fresh help. And our Father, help them to step out afresh on the promise, get under the blood. Lord, we pray for those who know Thee not as Savior. Our Father, even this morning, our bring them to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And Lord, bless each one. Thou knowest, O God, as our faces differ, so do our individual needs. But how we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast declared in Thy word that my God shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, meet each one of us at the point of our need this morning, we pray Thee, and bless Thy word now to our hearts. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar. And help us to proclaim Christ in all His fullness and all His glory and all His majesty, that men and women may leave this meeting, that we might say, "What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me." Bless us now, Lord, as we wait on in Thy presence, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we turn again, please, in the Word of God to the book of Daniel, and Daniel chapter 3. Every time I read that chapter, I think about an old godly bishop of the Church of England who used to preach at the great Keswick Convention in the Lake District. And many years ago, he was preaching from the book of Daniel and chapter 3. And you'll notice that as you read right through the chapter, you'll find that on a number of occasions it speaks about the music playing. And there's the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music. And the old fellow, he read it the first time. And every time he came to it again, he said, "The band played yet again." And he just didn't want to take up his time having to read it all. But it's a wonderful chapter. We were singing that lovely gospel hymn, "Dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone." And how we need in these days to be like Daniel and Daniel's friends. We have read the story this morning of the three Hebrew children. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, their proper names are given in the opening chapter, their Hebrew names. And these young men were taken away into the land of Babylon, into the land of captivity. The psalmist asked the question, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And yet in many, many ways, when you read about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we read about men who were enabled by the grace of God to sing the Lord's song in an alien environment, to sing the Lord's song and to be true to Him in a day when the whole world, it seemed, had become idolaters. They had all turned away from the living and the true God, and yet these young men stood for God. And despite all the threat and all the opposition and the threat of great persecution, yet they were to be found standing. That's what the apostle says in the book of Ephesians. He says to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, that you might be found standing. Now as the people of God, we ought to realize that when the Apostle Paul speaks about the evil day, we're not thinking evil about an evil day that is yet to come. But beloved, I believe that that evil day is upon us already, and we are living in an evil day and in an evil age. Some political commentator said not so long ago that Northern Ireland was becoming a cold place for unionists. But let me tell you, Northern Ireland and this world is becoming a cold place for Bible-believing, born-again saints of God. Because the world wants its way, and the world wants its day. And if you don't conform to this world, and the apostle tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're not willing to conform, then it seems that you're out on the fringe, that you're an oddity, and you should be shunned. But God in His Word, and thank God for this book, the Word of God, the Bible, this revelation of God to men. God explains, God shows, God reveals to us how we can live in an alien environment, when things in society are anti-Christian, anti-God, how we can live for God, and having done all, to be found standing. The old gospel hymn says about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. And I was thinking about that old gospel hymn, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. Why? Because as the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 32, he says, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Why would they not bow? Why did they not bend? Why were they not burned? Because they were believing men. Because they had faith in Jehovah God. And in the midst of an alien environment, far from home, far from Jerusalem, far from the temple that was now in ruins, far from their place of worship, they sang, they lived the Lord's song, even in a strange land. And there are some principles that are found in this passage of Scripture that can be seen in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And thank God they hold good today, for this is the eternal Word of the living God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God says, my Word shall never pass away. Now I want you to think with me for a moment or two about these young men and how they live for God. And I want you to notice very simply that the Bible teaches us that these young men were beautiful in their character. If you turn back to the first chapter of the book of Daniel, these young men are described in chapter 1 and in verse 3 onwards. It says, "The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children on whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." The Bible describes here these young men. They were beautiful in their character. There was no blemish. They were well favored. They were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And they had ability to stand in the king's... I can almost read your mind. You're saying, "That's just Big Fred. That's just Brother Fred. He has come to preach to us this morning." Well, that ought to be a picture of every child of God. You see, physically, it says, well, these young men, they were blessed. They were well favored. Mentally, they were given wisdom. Socially, they were able to stand and even in the king's palace. But thank God, spiritually, they were men of God. The Bible says among these in verse 6 were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. And you see, there was a time when the king Nebuchadnezzar, he had brought away these people captive into the land of Babylon, and his idea was, I first of all, I've changed their names. And you'll find that he takes the name of God, Jehovah, the Elohim, he takes the name of God out of their names. And in place he puts the name of one of his pagan gods in the land of Babylon. He wants to change their name. And the Bible says he wants to change their learning. He wants them to come and he wants to change even the very food they will take. Give them a portion of the king's meat and the wine which he drank. And his idea is that after a certain period of time, they might learn the tongue and the learning of the Chaldeans. In other words, they will be assimilated into the society of Babylon. They will become Babylonians. They will no longer worship the one living and the only true God, Jehovah, but they will worship the gods of Babylon and even Nebuchadnezzar himself. These young men were believing men. By faith, they quenched the violence of the fire. They were beautiful in their character. And it ought to be said of Christians that we are beautiful in our character. That when the world looks upon us, the old gospel hymn says, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Sometimes we meet with some of God's people, and to be honest, some of God's people can take an attitude and can be obnoxious even to their fellow believers, never mind to the men and women in the world. But we ought to have that Christ-likeness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus, that men and women might know, even as they knew of Moses. When Moses came down from the Mount of God, he wist not that his face shone with the reflected glory of God, but people knew he had been in the presence of the Lord. I know that every day in our lives, no matter where it might be, the men and women might know that man, that woman, they're a believer. They're a follower of Jesus Christ. They can be depended on. They are men and women of truth and integrity and honesty. Men and women in whom you could stake your very life upon. And then it happens when men and women are in trouble in this world, and they don't know where to turn to or who to turn to, then they come, seek out the child of God, that they might advise them, that they might instruct them. Now these young men were beautiful in their character, but I want you to notice they were brought to a crisis. There came a crisis point in their life's experience. That crisis came about because Nebuchadnezzar the king decided to build a great image and put that image of gold up on the plain of Jura and call for all the people and the nations and the languages and all the great men, the captains, the princes, the governors, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of the provinces. They all had to come to the dedication. And when they would hear the music of Nebuchadnezzar's ecumenical orchestra, then they were all to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. These young men were brought in their life's experience to a crisis. Someone told me that in the Chinese language that the characters for crisis word is made up of two characters. One means danger. The other means opportunity. So these young men were brought to a crisis. And in that crisis they were facing danger. But yet in the midst of that crisis there was an opportunity for them to be faithful to God, to be faithful to God's commandment that thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath, that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor worship them. They had an opportunity to witness for God and to shine and to show forth their faith in the Lord. Why did Nebuchadnezzar build such what we could only describe grotesque image and set it up on the plain of Jura? Well, one reason is for the deification of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that heathen nations had gods for the hills. They had gods for the valleys. They had gods for the rivers. They had gods for the sea. And oftentimes the leaders, like the pharaohs of the Egyptians, they thought themselves to be God and demanded the worship from their people, from their citizens. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamt about an image, and that image had a head of gold, and then there was silver, and then there was brass, and then there was iron and clay. They didn't understand what it meant, and you remember how Daniel was able to give the interpretation. Now the Lord Jesus Christ told us and he taught us to pray. And when we pray and we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Nebuchadnezzar, just like every other dictator, and every other king who would think himself deity, he was not content to listen to the interpretation from Daniel that his kingdom was the first kingdom with the gold head. That another kingdom would come after it, and yet another. Four great world empires. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to submit and bow to God and say, Thy kingdom come. He wanted to say, Mine is the kingdom, and mine is the glory. He wanted to deify himself. He wanted to glorify man. This image, you read about it, it has all the hallmarks of man. It was 60 cubits, 60 cubits in height, and it was 6 cubits in breadth, and it was set up on a plain of Jura. 6, of course, is a number of man. It's short of 7, the divine number, the number of perfection. Man always comes short. For man has sinned, and he comes short of the glory of God. Man was created on the 6th day. 6 is the number of man. And one day that was paralleled in these prophetic words of the book of Daniel, one day there will be one who will stride upon this earth, and he will have a mysterious number, and his number will be 666. So this huge image, not of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay, as the dream visualized, but as Nebuchadnezzar wanted it to be. He wanted it all from head to toe to glorify himself. We're living in an age when the great theory of the age is modern secular humanism that glorifies man, that wants to dethrone God and wants to elevate man, put him on a pedestal, that man has the answer to all his problems, that man can cure all society's ills, that man is the almighty man. So Nebuchadnezzar, an attempt to deify himself, an attempt to glorify man, an attempt to unify the religion. We hear a lot about that in these days. An attempt to unify the religion, and a very astute, we might say, political move. Nebuchadnezzar, who had ruled for 40 years, he never lost a battle, and now to unite all the provinces together and to get them all, as it were, under his wing, he unites them religiously that they might be united politically. So he builds this grotesque image. He sets it up out there on the plain of Jura. And typical of every other tyrannical religion, he demands that all men bow down and worship it. Remember reading the testimony of a child of God, a Bible teacher, and he said when he thought about the unity of religions in this world that we have in our day and organizations pressing to it, he said, the Lord gave him a great verse, and I'll share it with you. It's Psalm 119 and verse 63. And he said, the Lord showed to me, these are the kind of people I can have fellowship with, I can worship with, I can go along with. Psalm 119 and verse 63. The psalmist says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. In other words, here's the grounds of fellowship with believers. We are companions of all them that fear God, and of all them that keep God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why, thank God, we don't want to try and make unity, because there's the unity of the Spirit, and every child of God, born again, washed in the blood, they share in that unity one with another in the brotherhood of believers. We're companions of all them that fear his name and that keep his commandments. And so Nebuchadnezzar sets this image up, and these young men are brought to a crisis. The order goes out. The people gather out throughout the city walls and out onto the great plain of Jura. And this image is there. And then the orator comes along, and the herald comes, and the music plays, and the people are commanded to bow down. But I want you to notice then, these young men who were beautiful in character and who were brought to a crisis, they were bound in condemnation. See, sometimes people say, well, if I have the character, if I'm a child of God, if I love the Lord, and if I seek to live for the Lord, then everything will go well. I'll never have any problems. I'll never have any difficulties. That's not the case. Because this old world, the hymn writer says, it's not a friend of grace to help us unto God. And someone once said that you mightn't have known much about the devil before you were saved, but once you get saved, it's not long before the devil comes knocking on your door. And these young men were bound in condemnation. You notice that there were some amongst the Chaldeans in verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake to King Nebuchadnezzar. And of course they named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they accused the Lord's servants. And my, they were angry with the Lord's people. In this world, whether it be in the office, or in the factory, or the school, or the university, or the hospital, or wherever it might be, you will find that the world doesn't bat an eyelid when people talk about, you know, I bought a lottery ticket on Saturday night, and I'm trying my best, and I'm just living for that day when my numbers will come up on the lottery, and the world doesn't bat an eyelid. Or our young people say, you know, we were out and we had a ball and we were drinking to the wee hours of the morning. Or we're out clubbing, or we're out, we got a fix. And the world doesn't bat an eyelid. But the minute a Christian says, I'm saved, and you need to be saved, or I'm saved and I believe in keeping the Sabbath day, or I'm saved and I believe the Bible. My, it seems as if all hell is let loose against them. And yet the world can turn a blind eye to so many things. But the apostle reminds us, be not conformed. Be not conformed. Don't be squeezed into the image or the mold of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Nebuchadnezzar was angry. And you notice the words that Nebuchadnezzar, he's astonished. He asked them the question, is it true? Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is it true that you will not bow down and worship the image that is set up? See, we're amazed when we don't go along with its claims. Thank God, these young men, who were beautiful in character, who were brought to a crisis, who were bound in condemnation. You notice even there in verse 20, the Bible says, he commanded the most mighty men that are in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 21, these men were bound. Verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. Did we not cast, verse 24, three men bound? They were bound in condemnation. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus, the Scripture says, will suffer persecution of one sort or another. Used to read the books just after I was saved, Richard Wurmbrand, and the awful persecution that he endured under communism. I read the books of Watchman Nee. God's people, they were bound. But I want you to notice they were bold in their confession. Nebuchadnezzar, he could hardly believe his ears. Is it true? He asked the question to these young men. Is it true? That you will not bow down. And you notice in verse 15, at the end of the verse, he says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's the pivotal point of the whole story. Nebuchadnezzar, is it true you won't bow down to the image? When you hear the music, you won't bow down with the kings, with the princes, with the counselors, with the sheriffs, with the treasurer. You won't bow down. And he says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Oh, in one sense, he's talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is it true? But now he puts a question mark about the God of heaven. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The very God in whose hand this breath is. That's the God who he's speaking about. The God who created it all. The God who spake and it was done. The God who in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. And so these young men, thank God for their courage. They said, if it be so, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. In other words, you're not answering him in a careless manner. But they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These young men had courage. And they had the courage of their convictions. And they said, the God we serve, the Creator, he is able to deliver us. And they had confidence in God. They said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So many years ago, Harry Ironside, a great gospel preacher, he tells when he was just a boy, he knew he needed to be saved. And one day his mother was speaking to him, says, Harry, you need to be saved. He says, I know, Mother, but he says, I'm afraid if I get saved that my friends will laugh at me and I'll be the object of ridicule. And my many a man has crumbled under ridicule and scorn and laughter. And Harry, as a young boy, said, Mother, I'm afraid that if I get saved and I follow Christ, I'll be the object of scorn and mockery and ridicule. And his mother said, Harry, your friends can laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. Thank God for these young men who had courage, and they had no hesitation, and they believed in the commandments of God. They were not going to bow down to the image, down to an idolatrous image there on the plain of Jura. And they had the confidence that God had the ability. If he so willed, he could deliver them. Remember in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Herod put forth his hand and he killed James. Stephen was killed, martyred. But Peter, on that occasion, was delivered in the sovereign plan of Almighty God. Why did God allow James to be taken and Stephen to be taken and Peter delivered? And these young men said, God is able to deliver us. But even if God, it's not his will to deliver us, we will still not bow down and serve thy gods or worship the golden image. That was commitment, wasn't it? We will not bow down. Just let me close very quickly. These young men were beautiful in character. These young men were brought to a crisis point in their experience. A time of danger, yet a time of opportunity. They were bound in condemnation by Nebuchadnezzar and by his armies. They were bold in their confession, but thank God, finally they were blessed in their companionship. The men who drove them into the fire were slain, the mighty men out of Nebuchadnezzar's army. And these young men fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he looks in. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Verse 25, he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They were preserved even in the midst of the fire. because God preserved them. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. And if you believe the Bible, as we say we believe it, from the first end in Genesis to the last amen in Revelation, then you've no problem with this passage. God, who is almighty, who has all power, who created it all, can preserve his saints in the midst of the fire. He was with them. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There's a verse in Isaiah that has been a great comfort to many children of God. And when the Lord said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, for I am the Lord God of Israel, the Holy One, thy Savior." My many a child of God, in the affliction, in sickness, in bereavement, have found that to be true, that in the time of affliction, in the time of hardship, when it seems the world's fires are heated up, the Lord says, "I will be with thee." And then, when they brought these men out of the fire, finds that the fire had no power. Verse 27, "Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, or the smell of fire passed upon them." And verse 30 says that the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. See, if we stand by the purpose true, and if we're found still standing, we will be blessed in our companionship. We will know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can preserve us, the one who will be with us, the one who has all power, and he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, Wesley said that when the churches were closed to him and there was persecution, and he was cast out, and he went out into the open air, and thousands were won to Christ because God was with him. And thank God, the promise is in Hebrews chapter 13 and 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we might boldly say, "The Lord is our helper." As the old missionary said, that the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And the missionary said, "Those are the words of a gentleman. God is a perfect gentleman. And God will never deny himself or deny his word." And he went forth in the Lord's name. May the Lord help us to take the opportunity when it comes, even should it be in a crisis, that we might be able to shine for the Lord Jesus. Let's bow together. We'll bring our meeting to a close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee again today for all thy goodness to us. And we thank thee, Lord, for the simple truths from thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst write thy word upon the fleshy tables of our hearts, lest we should sin against thee. Separate us now with thy blessing. Take us all to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout this day. O God, bless tonight in our gospel meeting, we pray thee. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Bring in dear unsaved men and women. And O God, may the word of God be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And may there be signs following the preaching of thy word. Separate us now with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.